But I want you to open your Bibles again to the Gospel according to Luke, and we're going to be looking at the same passage of Scripture we've been looking at. One of the things that we are really focusing on is the idea of being in His steps. How can we live a life that coincides with Jesus's ministry, Jesus's mission and purpose on earth? What is it that He is showing us that He wants us to be engaged in? And while you might have your thing, I mean, there might be something that you specifically, you personally have to do in God. It could be to reflect the glory of God in photography. It could be in the teaching ministry that you're here. It could be in the singing ministry, whatever it is, whether it be with instruments, whatever you, God might have something for you to do. Your thing might be helping and making sure that ministry can go forth because you support ministry in the background. Whatever it is that you do, God has that thing that's called you to do. But in spite of just that thing that you're called to do, there are things that we all should be engaged in. Amen? That Jesus had done and has empowered us to do here while we're on earth. While we sit here and we can pray the Lord's Prayer and say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," that what we are saying is that, God, we want your kingdom to be reflected here on earth. Amen? And we want your will to be done here on earth. And the way that that takes place is through us. We're not giving permission for God to move. We're giving God permission to move through us. Amen? Somebody say, "Use me, Lord." And so we need to be engaged in and figure out what it is that we need to be doing in God. And so that's what we've been doing. We've been looking at this passage of Scripture because this is what Jesus made very clear to his listeners as to what it was that he was to be doing. And he says here in Luke, again, chapter number 4, verses 16 through 18. I'm telling you guys to turn, and I ain't turned to it myself. And so I won't have to look backwards and do this. Let me go ahead and find this real quick. Luke chapter number 4, verses number 16 through 20. And it says, "So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, as was his custom. And he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.'" The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. "Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. So we've been talking about in this passage, again, our series is actually entitled In His Steps, how we are to live in purpose. We are to live in purpose. And one of those purposes that we've already looked at a few weeks ago was that we are sent to preach the gospel to the poor. We are sent to preach the gospel to those who don't have access to it, to those who don't have it, to those who haven't heard it, to those who haven't heard it spoken in a way where they can really understand it and appreciate it. We are sent to preach the gospel. And we've been going forward with this in Bible study and talking about the importance of sharing the gospel. And one of the things that I say over and over and over again to my class and one of the things we see reflected in Scripture is that your story is important. Look, somebody say, your story is important. Y'all remember the woman at the well? The woman at the well had that personal encounter with Jesus. And then she went down to talk to the villagers. And she didn't tell the villagers, you know, "Hey, the Bible says, the Old Testament says this." She didn't go through any of those things. She said, "Come see a man who told me all about myself. This was the evidence that made me realize God was real, was because he told me about myself." It wasn't all the other stuff he said about being living water and all of that. That was all well and good. He proved himself to me by showing that he knew me. And your personal story, however it is that God delivered you, however it is that God saved you, however God has ministered to you, That is your story. And if you want to know how you can share the gospel, you don't even need the Romans Road. All you need is your story. Your story is important. And the second thing we talked about was how he came to heal the brokenhearted. And we talked about people that have dealt with some things, that dealt with trauma or dealt with things that have just really just sort of, you know, just broken their hearts. People are hurting. And we try all kinds of things to mask that hurt. All types of things. We could try drugs and alcohol to try to mask the hurt. We could try all kinds of bad relationships to mask the hurt. You can root for the Cowboys to mask the hurt. It's just, they're just so miserable, and we know, and we just, and we hug them, not because we like their team. We hug them because we know that if they have the audacity to root for that team, they must be hurting. I feel you. I feel your pain. But honestly, people are hurting, and we need to understand and recognize that, because a lot of times what we tend to do is we tend to see people in what we see on the outside, and we make judgments on those people. We judge their character. We judge their value based on what we see on the outside, and we don't see the pain that's going on the inside. You mean to tell me people are going to work all the way, going to spend every dime they've got to try to get out of a country of Ecuador, to try to get to a place where their children, you know, can sleep at night without worrying about whether or not they're going to be able to wake up in the morning? You going to tell me they're going to travel all the way from Ecuador to get to the border of northern Mexico, and they really just doing it to take advantage of us? These people are hurting. And we have to have compassion on people that are hurting. They're at the borders, they're at the 7-Eleven, they're at your McDonald's, they're at your grocery store. They're in your families, they're at your family reunions. And they might laugh and joke and all of that stuff, but a lot of times people have something that's crushing them on the inside. We have to be cognizant of the broken heart. And we talked about liberty to the captives and that deliverance and that we need for God to deliver, because there are people who are bound, you know, and while we might look at them and be like, why don't you just stop doing that? It ain't as easy as it is just to say, why don't you just stop doing that? Anybody who's ever tried to stop smoking, I ain't gonna talk about the illegal stuff. There's legal stuff that you can be bound by. Amen? And so there are things that people are bound to do. They can't help but do these things. And we've got to have compassion on them. We got to pray for them. We got to pray that God delivers them. We have to be, and this the point is, that we are the conduits through whom God can deliver. God can deliver through little old us. So today, I'm going to talk briefly. I'm talking about for about 15 minutes on recovery of sight to the blind. Now, this is about not just talking about God restoring sight to people who are actually blind, but this is speaking of a healing ministry that Jesus is telling us to be engaged in. This is about healing. And so we're going to talk about healing. And really, this should be easy to talk about because, you know, most of us need God to heal. Amen? If you ain't got no aches and pains in your body, you ain't got no medications you got to take every morning or every night, if you good and everything's straight with you, then you know somebody. You surely know somebody who needs for God to move. And the great thing about this, about healing, is that not only have we read the stories throughout the Bible of God delivering and healing over and over again, there are a lot of us who are in here who've experienced this personally for ourselves. Amen? Because some of y'all used to have a cancer diagnosis. You ain't got that no more. Amen? You know, some of y'all had some other thing that the doctors was like, you know, some of us have had some stuff where the doctors were astounded that we ever got through this thing. You know, and we've seen God move in our lives and in the lives of others. And but, you know, there are a whole lot of people who aren't convinced that God still heals today. And I was thinking about that. I was trying to wonder why that is. Why would you doubt God's capacity and ability and willingness to heal? And I think maybe it's because we have seen so much stuff in the news or seen stuff in the media that where we have people who look like frauds. You know, because, you know, they touch people and everybody and they fall out, or they blow and the whole auditorium falls out and everything. And we look at that, and I'm not, you know, casting aspersions on anybody. I'm not saying that these things didn't happen, but I'm saying we can look at that and be like, okay, that just looks like it's too good to be true. You know, somebody come up in a wheelchair and then they leave out there dancing. Because we've heard of stories of people who have claimed to be faith healers, and really they just had a whole bunch of people who look sick on their staff. You know, and they go ahead and have them, why don't you come out here on some crutches, and then I'm going to lay hands on you, you're going to fall out, and then you're going to dance. And unfortunately, that's happened. You know? And the world tends to mock the church when the church talks about and ministers in a healing capacity. But, you know, I think there's another reason why some people don't believe in healing miracles. And I think it's because maybe they've prayed before for themselves or for someone else, and they didn't get healed. And I tend to have compassion for those who are outside of the faith, who are skeptical about things in the faith. I understand. I mean, we can look a little fanatical sometimes, you know, and I was, you know, I wasn't always in the church. And before I came into church, I looked at people in church and thought y'all was crazy. So I get it. But what we want to do today is we want to look at some things that God's word says about healing. I want you to flip back a few pages to the gospel according to Matthew. And we're going to look at chapter 9. I'm just going to read two verses of scripture. I apologize. I don't have these up on the screen for us today. Let me see. Do I at least have my title slide? Nope, I got the wrong slides up there. So let's see. That was last week. I'll just leave this one up. Okay. That's right. I didn't have any slides today anyway. Y'all aren't missing nothing. But in Matthew chapter number 9 and verses number 27, 28, and 29, it says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And we had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. There are a lot of stories about healing in the Bible. And I was trying to think about when I was praying, I was like, Lord, what's my favorite story? What is my favorite story of healing? And I really couldn't find one that I consider my favorite, because there's so many that I really, really, really love. I love the story of Naaman. You know, Naaman was the Syrian, you know, captain who came down with leprosy, and then he came over to Elisha, and Elisha said, go dip yourself in the Jordan River 7 times. And he didn't want to go. He's like, yeah, we got cleaner rivers at home. I ain't dipping in no dirty old, you know, Potomac River. You know, I ain't getting in that thing where catfish be coming out with 2 heads. No, I ain't doing that. But yet he succumbed. He finally did it, and he got healed. And, you know, and it showed, you know, a whole nother, you know, group of people that didn't believe in God, that God was real. I mean, there was some great things in that. I mean, there's a story of the 10 lepers who went to Jesus, and they, you know, and they asked Jesus to heal them. And Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And while they were on their way, they found that they were healed, and the other 9 kept going, but one of them turned back to give God the praise. I love that story. I mean, there's some great stories. I mean, you know, remember when Peter, you know, was going up into the temple and the guy was out there begging, and he was like, silver and gold have I not, but this thing I do have. Rise, take up your bed. I mean, I like stuff like that. You got to enjoy stories like that. You know, I love all these stories, but I just want to use this one just to share a little bit about what we have in this story that we can take from this and glean from this to understand something about healing. Because if I don't do nothing else today, I want you to understand that not only does God still heal, but God can heal through you. Look at somebody and say, God can use you. This story is about two blind men. Now we don't know how they got blind. We don't know if they were born blind. We don't know if they became blind because of some accident that they had suffered. We don't know if they got injured. We don't know if they had some disease, some condition that made them go blind later. We don't know anything about their blindness. But one thing we don't know is that they couldn't see. And this was really, really difficult to deal with then in those days. One reason was because, I mean, Can you imagine not being, I mean, let's say you go home tonight. Let's say we stay at this tailgate party till like 6 o'clock. Hold on, what time does it get dark? It get dark like around 4 o'clock now. Let's say we get, you know, we don't leave the tailgate party. We hang out all day long. Sun goes down. You go home. You ain't got no lights on. How many of you think that you can navigate your way through your house with no lights on? Most of us can get somewhere in their own house, right? I mean, yeah, you know good and well that you know where your light switches are, you know where the walls are. You should be okay in your own house. You know, but if you go to somebody else's house and the light's out, I mean, no, you're going to have some stubbed toes. You're going to have some fractured elbows. You know, some bruised foreheads. I mean, you're going to have some problems going someplace where you can't see where you're going. I mean, blindness was tough to deal with because of the physical incapacity of it, but also because of what it did to the emotions of somebody then. Because they would believe that if you were blind, obviously God found that you did something that was so bad that he removed from you your sight. You know, it's because you are that bad of a sinner. Now, you got to imagine, there were some people that were pretty awful folks, but didn't go blind. So, like, man, look, I'm pretty bad. And if you went blind, that means you was worse than me. So I know you talking about, like, I didn't do nothing. All I did was, you know, all I did was give somebody the look, you know, when they rode past me all fast and everything. That's all I ever did. No, you must have done some really awful stuff. And so to be blind also had carried with it that stigmatism that you were an awful sinner. You were an awful sinner that you would have something so bad as blindness. And so they were in this situation and they were blind. And this is what happens. And as the story says, it's that Jesus was walking away and the two men, they followed behind him. They could hear the commotion or they could tell where the crowd was going. They were able to navigate enough where they followed after Jesus. And this is what they said. They said, "Son of David, have mercy on us." Remember I talked about that blindness carried with it, the stigmatism that you were wrong, that you had sinned. And so they asked for mercy because they figured if I can get deliverance for my sin or forgiveness for my sin, then the condition that I have that is a result of my sin will also go away. They didn't say restore my sight. They said forgive me of the sin. And so the first thing that we find here is that they recognize the power of God. They recognize Jesus' capacity to heal. I mean, not only to heal, but to forgive their sins. They recognizing the deity in Christ by doing that. And likewise, you know, we have to have, you know, the kind of faith where we recognize the power of God. That's what faith is. Faith is understanding and appreciating that God can do this. God can do this. He did it before. He can do it again. You know, that's the whole idea of what we were singing this morning is that I've seen you make a way before, so I know you can make a way for me right now. And if there's one thing I can tell y'all, I need the Lord to make a way. Amen? They had faith, and we likewise have to exhibit faith. Faith is important in seeing the healing power of God. Now, it might be the faith of the person getting healed. It might be the person... the faith of the person who is, you know, the conduit of the healing or us, you know, for praying for somebody again. It could be somebody else who's just bringing that person to a place where they could be healed. You remember where the guy had the palsy and he had four friends that carried him on the bed and then they opened up the roof of the house. They tore the roof up and lowered him down. And Jesus looked up there and said, "By your faith, I'm going to heal him, not because of his faith, but because of your faith." But faith is still necessary. Somebody got to believe. That's why Jesus used to kick skeptics out the room. You know, hold up, y'all don't believe, and y'all over here snotting and crying and everything and acting like this is a done deal. Y'all got to leave because I need this room to be filled with faith. Somebody say faith. So faith is necessary. These men had faith. Another thing they did is that they were persistent in their pursuit of Jesus. You know, because if you look at the way the scripture says it, it says that they said, you know, "Jesus, you know, thou son of David, have mercy on us." Remember, Jesus was on his way because Jesus had departed. And then they screamed out and said, "The son of David, have mercy on us." And then it said they had to follow him into the house. So which way was Jesus going when they were calling out and calling him son of David? He was going away from them. They had to chase him down.
They had to go after him. They had to be persistent. They had to continue to believe. That whole, no. He just can't just walk away like that. I need him to do something for me. I'm going to keep going after him.
You remember the parable about the unjust judge? And it said the woman went to the judge and she was trying to get the judge to give her justice in whatever dispute that she was in. And, you know, and she just kept going after him over and over and over and over and over again. Finally, he was like, man, just so that this woman will leave me alone, I'm going to give her whatever she asked for. Jesus said, how much more will a God who loves you do that for you? But we have to be persistent. We got to be persistent. I mean, you might have prayed and you might think nothing happened. Keep praying. Amen? Amen. There's some things that you might have stopped praying about. Pray about those things all over again. Amen? Don't give up on that thing. You got to keep going. And the last thing I'll talk about is relates to this part of it, is the touch of Jesus. Jesus touched them. And it was more than just about the transmission of the healing power of God. Because they were those who did get healed without being touched. But I think it is about the personal sort of compassion that accompanies a healing. You know, it's not just healing for healing's sake. It's about building relationship with them. I want you to know me. I want you to remember this moment because I want you to know that I love you, that you're my child, and that I care about you. Healing is about God showing his love and compassion for his people. And we should likewise reciprocate that love and compassion for God. Amen? So that's why I believe there was an extra blessing even for the one who turned back to God. Remember they talked about the ten lepers that went and one turned back? And there was a special connection when it came to that. Because he recognized what that really meant was what he was doing, what Jesus had done in his life. Now, remember, I told you, this series is about us being conduits of what it is God is doing in this world and what Jesus is trying to do. And so we are looking at this passage, and we can see from some of these passages, we can see from some of the things of God that it is God's desire to heal. But what a lot of times we're not convinced about is that God can heal through us. You know, of course, I can do it because my name is Pastor. That's what my mama named me when I was born. She named me Pastor Fred. And so obviously, I was created to be somebody that can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Right? No. Everybody can be used of God. But before I say, I'm going to make that my final point. But before I get to that, I want to make this point. And I'm going to make this point first because I don't want this to be the last thing you leave with because I'm not trying to jack up your faith. I'm just trying to get you to understand something. And that is this. Not everybody gets healed. No matter what you do, how much you fast, how fervently you pray, how tightly you close your eyes while you're praying and squeeze the hand of the person who's already in pain because you're trying to transmit extra power. No matter how much you do, there are some people that just won't get healed. And we've seen this play out in our personal lives, right? We know people that we've loved dearly, that we prayed for, that we called other people to ask them to pray for, that we went to the hospital and laid hands on them, and they died. You know, when Brother Larry, you know, passed earlier this year, you know, I had, you know, went to the hospital, and I went in there, and he was unconscious when I went in there, and I went in there, and I laid hands on him, and I prayed for Larry. I was like, God, you can do anything. You can heal my brother. You can heal this father. You can heal this grandfather. You can heal him right now in the name of Jesus. And I sat there and I opened my word and I laid hands on him and I prayed for him. And then I left. And I'm going home and it takes me about 30 minutes to get home. I walk in the house. I open the refrigerator. I get myself something to drink. I get a phone call from the son, saying he had just passed away right after I left, you know. But you know something? You know, now it's actually better for him, right? Because to be absent from the body is to be where? Present with the Lord.
And so we've seen this play out in our personal lives where not everybody gets healed. But we've also seen it play out in God's word. Did y'all know that's biblical, that not everybody gets healed? You remember the man at the pool of Bethesda? It said that there was this pool at the by the sheep gate and a whole multitude of people who had all kinds of sickness and disease. They all came there waiting for the stirring of the waters. It was at a time and a season, an angel would come and stir the waters, and whoever made it first into the pool would be healed of whatever it was they had. And Jesus went and passed scores of people and went to one person and said, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And Jesus rolled out. Not everybody that was there got healed. He did, but not everybody did. And so it's okay. It's not a thing about questioning God. It is about us. We want to see the power of God and the way that we imagine the power of God should take place. We want to see it happen like that. But ultimately what we want to see is the will of God done. And whatever God's will is, that's what it is. And we're open to that. And we're not questioning that. We trust God enough to know that his will is better than ours. Amen? I would talk about Hezekiah. Anybody know about the story about Hezekiah? Hezekiah is the one who, you know, put his face to the wall, you know, and he asked God to give him a few more years, you know, because the prophet had gone and told him that you're going to die. That's what's going to happen. He's like, no, Lord, let me live a little bit longer. But you know something? If you look at his life after that, Miles Monroe talks about this. You look at his life after that, he was a mess. He was a mess after that. He was a terrible king after that point, you know. But it is God's will. So don't doubt yourself. You know, don't doubt your faith. Don't doubt your prayer. You know, don't doubt your ability to fast or anything like that if it doesn't happen. If it doesn't happen, it just doesn't happen. But this is my last point. We can be used to perform miracles. We can be used to perform miracles. And again, the last thing I want you to remember, and the thing that's really most important, is I want you to understand who you are in God. Go forward a little bit more to Gospel according to John. We about hit every gospel today. We've hit three of the four today. But the Gospel of John, and we're going to look at chapter number 14, and looking at verse number 12. I'm just going to look at one verse of scripture. Verse number 12. Most assuredly, which is another way of saying show enough. This is the show enough truth. I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Not just the works I do, and greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Who does it say will do greater works than God, than Jesus did? He who believes. If you're a believer today, that means you can read the Gospels and see how Jesus told 10 people who were sick, go show yourself to the priest. The priests were the doctors of that day. They were the ones that would sign off on your healing. I want you to go to the physician. I want you to go because I believe that much by the time you get there, you're going to be delivered. And they got delivered on the way. That means you can, you know, when those two blind men can lay hands and they'll recover. That means you, all those great, amazing things Jesus did, we can be the conduits through which the Spirit of God does miracles because he said, I go to my Father. And because he went to his Father, we have the Spirit of God living in us. Jesus said, the Spirit of God is upon me. But for us, the Holy Spirit is living in us and operating through us. And we can be the conduits through which other people can be healed. Don't ever, ever, ever be hesitant or scared to lay your hands on somebody and pray. Amen? You know, a lot of times, and I do this sometimes. So sometimes I kind of do these things absent-mindedly because we've been in church for so long and somebody says they feeling something. Okay, I'm going to pray for you.
But y'all should know this by now. If y'all ever say that to me here in church, what do? I pray right then. Matter of fact, not only will I pray, but I'll gather whoever's around. Hey, come on, y'all. We're going to pray for this person right now. We're going to lay hands right now. We're going to pray the power of God in their life right now, and we're going to believe it. We're going to believe it with every fiber of our being that God can come into that situation and that God can move. Amen? You, and they don't even, look, let me tell you something. People don't even need to come to me. They come to you because you believe. He who believes, the same works that they see in me, they will do also, and greater works than these. Amen? I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you because I want for you to understand, appreciate the capacity that you have to be the conduit of God's healing power here on earth. God can heal through you. Amen? Look, somebody say, through you. Through you. You. Through you. Through you. God, we bless you. We thank you, God. We honor you today. God, we bless you because we recognize, Lord, that we live in a world that is ravaged with sickness, disease, all kinds of things, God. There are all types of researchers and doctors trying to find cures to things. There are all kinds of aches and pains, God, some of us just have to deal with, you know, as a result of getting older. But, Lord, you're a healer. You desire healing. You like to heal. You like to use this, Lord, as a way of showing how much you love and care for us. So, Lord, we pray for your healing power to be in this place, even now in the name of Jesus, God. But in addition to that, God, we pray that you give us a faith that says that we can be the agents of healing, that this could be our way of sharing the gospel with somebody, that if we see someone who's in pain, we can pray for them and allow you to work and operate in their lives and show them that you're real. We look forward, Lord God, to being used in opportunities, Lord God, where you can show somebody that you're real and use us to do it. And so we bless and we thank you, Lord, right now for your healing power and for the power of healing that operates through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.